Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
By then, you've been body. There was nothing left in him. He was so skinny. He couldn't walk properly, and he looked so old for his age. And then this pain in the head, the pain, couldn't tolerate it anymore.
It's mentally yours, for melanin and effect. A focus on your mental health, you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Hi everyone and welcome to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly mental health podcast. I'm Yvette and this week I'm chatting to Simin Sarikhani, who lost her son to suicide when he was just 21. She's published a memoir, including his letters and quotes, called Finding Blossoms in the Darkness. We're going to be talking about the book, bereavement, and how to find peace.
My son was born here, and he was a very, very gentle boy from the beginning. He was a great A student. He loved nature. He loved animal, and he was always caring about homeless people, handicapped people, this stuff. But the problem with Yumi was he could not sleep as a child. He had a sleeping disorder as a baby. And it was really hard and painful. But at the age of 15, 16, through the puberty, his circadian rhythm, we call it inner clock, just stopped working. And he could not sleep at all. We went to Mayo Clinic, we went to Boston, McLean, because they were known for sleeping disorder. Clinic was famous, and I would go back and forth. And at the end, they told us that there is no cure. They have never seen a case like Jubin. They had one, but it was not as bad at all. By then, Jubin's body, there was nothing left in him. He was so skinny. He couldn't walk properly. And he looked so old for his age. And then this pain in the head. The pain. Couldn't tolerate it anymore.
So he couldn't sleep at all. And am I right in thinking they didn't ever properly diagnose him or sort of realize what actually was going on?
The easiest way to make us understand the circadian rhythm in the brain, it works with light and sun, and it's an inner clock. It tells us time to sleep, time to wake up. Human was not working, as I said. They just didn't know how to fix it. They did not have the knowledge. They did not know. And we did so many different whatever they told us, we followed. So many different ideas, this way, that way. We tried it all. We tried it all. But nothing worked for Zubin. And he was on a lot of medication. Still he couldn't sleep. He would go to coma. It was not asleep. Coma, we call it coma. We had no other name for it. He would just, between 10, 15, 10, 20, the last year of his life, I would say around 10 months maybe, he would collapse. Wherever we were, doesn't matter. We could have been in a baseball stadium or a hockey stadium, and with the noise and everything, it didn't matter. He would go to that coma for 14, 15 hours. And he would not move, just flat on his back. So he lost a lot of muscles, the pain. He suffered so much.
When he was younger, was he able to go to school or anything, or have any sort of...
normal life?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had. He tried. Yeah, he had a normal life, semi-normal life. He would come from school. He would take a nap because that was the time he could sleep, and then wake up and be up all day till morning and go to school. But he still managed to study and do all the activities. His friends, and he was a happy boy. He was really a funny boy. Take care of his pets. He had turtle, he had rabbits, we had dog, we had cat, we had a mini zoo in our home. He managed that, but at the age 16, around 16, the pain was so severe. He managed to go to school, he managed to go to the college, but then he couldn't do it anymore.
How did this impact on you?
Oh my God, it was horrible. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. Every night I had to look at his dead body. His body was just warm. He was dead. Nothing. Lie down. No moving, no nothing. And every morning, his doctor told me, we have to wake him up at certain time to send a message to the brain, come on, it's waking up time. You have to get up. And that was a huge challenge. It was like that. He had a lot of, like morphine they give them, I don't know, to put them to sleep so they do surgery. It was like that. He couldn't wake up. So it was a challenge every day. I had to wake him up. I had to help him to dress up, take a shower, and right away take him out to get fresh air to help him. The fatigue goes. Yeah, but the fatigue would take for a while, and then he would be a bit better, but the pain was always there.
And when he was 21, is that right? That's when you lost him?
Yes, yes.
So how did you find out about his death?
We were going to Boston for the last, not checkup, for the last tests. They told us that there could be a chance. They came up with a new idea. So we went there. We were planning to go there for 4 days, and he had a program the whole 4 days to do whatever they were arranging for him to do. The night before, he called me and he had a serious conversation with me. told me I'm going for you. And Yumi loved life. He just loved life. He said, I'm going for you. If they tell me there is this much, and he put his finger together, this much hope, and it takes 10 years for me to get better, you know how much I love life. I do it. I go through it. I do it. But if they say there is no cure, I want you to understand, I cannot take this pain. I will finish my life. And he kept on asking me, do you understand? And I was saying no. He said, you cannot be a selfish mother. I go through this pain because of you. You know I'm dying. You know it's a matter of time. Not even 2 years, maybe a year. I just want to finish it. And we went for all this stuff to Boston. And after a week, they called us. We had a conference call. And his doctor was very, very fond of Yubin because Yubin was helping him to do research, tell him about the feeling, help him with the research. And he said to Yubin, we don't know, there is no cure, but we cannot give up. We still try. And Yubin said, thank you very much. I know there is no cure. We thanked him, and then less than 48 hours, he was gone.
I mean, so you lost your son to suicide. How did you deal with that initially? Because it's something that I'm sure many people just can't imagine.
Well, I always say, because a lot of parents talk to me, they ask me how I did it and how I manage it. And this book is really, it's about my journey with my son, what we went through before, and then what I went through after, and how I could make it. Losing a child is the most, I mean, it's unbearable. There is no word for that. And then through suicide, it's absolute hell. Because you think, did I do everything I could have done? Was it my fault? Could I have done this? Could I have done that? Why I didn't feel it? Why I didn't notice anything? I met many parents. Yeah, and after Yubin was gone, I don't remember anything. I don't remember anything. I went through such a shock that it damaged my short-term memory. That's why I keep on asking you, can you repeat again? Anyway, it was absolute a nightmare. For me, I'm sure it's the same for every parent. When he was going to do that, how did he feel? Was he afraid? How could I have done that? He could have asked me. I would have helped him. I would have done it. I wouldn't care about what law says, you know. But the fear of his feeling, he didn't do it at home. He had a place. He chose a place, a beautiful place, and he planned it all perfectly. What was he feeling when he was going? He opened the door, 12 o'clock midnight. He started walking. What was he thinking when he was putting his shoes on, the notes and everything? And when that killed me, and I'm sure for every parent it's the same. It's the same.
How have other people reacted to what happened? So friends and family?
A lot of my family, nobody was really could get how serious human illness was. Nobody could understand. I couldn't understand where this is coming from. So when that happened, they were all in shock. And they my family, they knew Yubin as a happy boy, as a smart boy. He was a great skier, swimmer, all this stuff. it was a shock to them too. And now, but the thing is, for them to protect me and at the same time protect themselves, they don't talk too much about suicide, you know? They don't talk about it because they were thinking maybe they make me feel guilty. And I'm sure Zubin's cousin, they loved Zubin. They grew up together. One of them told me, I was very mad at Zubin. Why did he do it? And then when he read the book, he wrote an email to me, a beautiful email. He said, now I understand why he did it. I would have done the same thing. So this is the reaction. People don't talk about it much, you know, not openly. It still is the same. It still is the same.
Why do you think people find it so difficult to talk about suicide in general?
As I said, they feel if they talk, they open a door which is so painful to parents. They don't want to do that. They want to protect the parents. And at the same time, for them, it's difficult too. Some are get angry. Some, his best friend couldn't talk to me. He kept on saying, I could have said Zubin. I could have said Zubin if you would call me, I could have gone and saved Zubin. So, you know, it's a lot of dealing with a lot of guilt. And guilt is not less than pain. It's the same thing. Guilt is a killer. Shame is a killer.
What would you say to other parents who have been through what you have?
I met a lady, her daughter was killed, really in a horrible way. So I met this lady and she was asking me the same question. I told her, for me, I know that there is a life after here. We're going to be with them. They're always around us. It's not that they're gone, vanish. And then I showed her a letter of my son. He wrote, and I find it, after he was gone, I said, look, this is what my son said. And this is just before he was leaving. He could, you know, they are somewhere else. Zubin was somewhere else. He was not here. He was somewhere else and I could not understand it. But I know he had his own way to connect. When she read that, she said, do you think my daughter is, I said, yes. Is about your daughter too. Doesn't matter, my child, your child. And she wrote that note and she said, I'm going to put it in my wallet. So whenever I open my wallet, I can see this and it gives me comfort. This is where my daughter is. I tell parents my own experience. Everybody has find their own way. But it seems that giving them hope and courage and sharing Zubin's note and letter helps a lot because I've been with many parents this way. I said, just be open. Just be open and believe universe is not a cruel universe. Things happen we do not know. This is the journey. And I share some of Zubin's stuff. Oh, they go to the website, our foundation website, and they get a lot of relief. They love it and it helps them. This is why I put this book together and at the same time a promise to my son. He wanted me to share this.
Yes, tell us more about the book.
The title is Finding Blossom in the Darkness, which I love. And that's is my experience through that horrible pain, that darkness. I find a path. I find guidance through my son's notes. This is the way it is. All his notes is about love, encouragement, and have faith in unknown and believe and just be open. So this book is about that. I have told my story, my journey, and then after.
So it's a combination, really. It's a part memoir, but it's also some of the letters that he left you, is that right? And also some of his quotes. How did you feel initially sharing those, what may have felt like very private letters, sort of with everybody?
Yeah, I said it in the book. It was very difficult for me. It was really difficult because that was the only thing I had from him, you know, nothing else. And what I did with those notes, I got some notebook, blank note, and I put those notes, I wrote those notes for myself from Juby. That, Mom, this is it, this is it, Mom, Mom, Mom. And I put the stickers, I put photos. So this was a, like a conversation he's having with me. He's somewhere else far and he's giving me all these notes and writing to me. This is the way I started. And then it was a promise I kept to Juby. It was really, really hard. But one morning I knew I had to do it. I got the feeling, Mom, that's it, do it. And I start doing it. It took me a long time. It took me a long time. It was not easy at all. It was emotionally, it was really, really hard because I had to go back and put everything, I wrote everything by hand. And yeah, it was difficult, but I had a desire in my heart to help. That was my desire and a promise, these two.
Could I ask you as well, not too long ago, we had World Suicide Prevention Day.
Yeah.
What, if anything, do you think we can do to prevent suicide?
I would say, because my case was different. You know, you've been told me. But because I have been talking to many mothers or fathers, they had no clue. They would say, yeah, our child was depressed, quiet, this, that, but we never imagine. So I would say, spend time with your kids. Let them talk. Hug them. Give them love. Encourage them. Do things with them. It helps a lot. Make them know that you understand their feeling. Make them know that you want to support them and you are there for them. I think that is very important.
And is there anything that you'd say to anybody at the moment who's struggling?
I would say never give up hope. Never give up. As a mother, we can never give up hope. We do our best. We do our best. I always say we reach out and do whatever we can do. The rest is in universe hand. But I don't want any parents feel guilty. I don't want any parents feel that I'm a loser, I failed my son, because that's what I was. I failed my son. I could have saved my son if. So be there for your child. Absolutely be there. Understand. Love and courage. Then at least we don't, if God forbid and that happened, we won't blame ourselves so much. As I said in the book, the hardest thing after losing Juby was to forgive myself.
So this is goodbye for mentally yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores. From mentally yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've been chatting about today, please give the Samaritans a ring on 116 123, or you can find them online at samaritans.org. If you'd like to chat to us on Facebook, we have a group called Mentally Yours, and we also have a Twitter account, which is MentallyYRS. Thanks very much to our producer, Sam Bonham, and to Lucy Baker for the jingles. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.